Welcome to the Maurer Report. I'm your host, Jim Maurer. Before the Fast Hour and Paranormal Talk Radio starts, please go over to facebook.com/iTalkParanormal and give it a like. And leave a message telling me what show you're listening to. I enjoy the fan feedback.
The opinions expressed in the Maurer Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Maurer Report. Yeah, the Maurer Report. The Paranormal Talk Radio Show with Jim Maurer as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want to see. It's the Maurer Report. Yeah, the Maurer Report.
Welcome to the Maurer Report. I'm sorry about that. I forgot to push the button to make you hear me, so now you can. Welcome to the Maurer Report. Hi, I'm your host, Jim Maurer. You may notice I'm not in chat room tonight. Obvious reason, I'm not live tonight. I've recorded this show. This is a new show. You have not heard this before, so just so you know. I'm at an Eagles concert, truth be told, so I took the night off, but I didn't take the show off. So I'm going to bring my guest up right now, actually, and we'll talk about it. And So I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm glad that you did. Just sorry I can't be there to enjoy your conversation with me. So, but hey, at least there's still a fresh Maurer Report out there for everybody to hear. Maybe. We'll see how it turns out. I might just delete it. I'm just kidding. Maybe. I'm working on my guests. I normally call my guests before we go live, but since we're doing this a little bit differently tonight. Yeah. He'll be here in a minute. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and their continued support of the Maurer Report. It's just been phenomenal. Steven, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Jim. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I want to thank you for jumping on with me at the last possible moment. I was just saying off air, you know, confusing myself at this point that tomorrow night during my normal show slot, I'm going to be at an Eagles concert. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Hotel California.
That's right. Kind of like the paranormal. You can check in anytime, but you can never leave.
You can never leave. I love that song. That is awesome. I envy you for not being here tomorrow night.
Once in a while, people are like, you should take a week off once in a while. Because I did a show on Christmas and this, that, and the other. And I said, there will come a time where I decide that's the night to take off. And it just so happened that they're going to be in Pittsburgh tomorrow night, which is close to me. And I said, I'll do it. So.
Well, that is awesome. I wish they'd come down here down south. I'd love to see the Eagles. Been one of my favorite bands since the 70s.
So I'm surprised they don't, but I'm not their tour manager, so. If you want to swear, go ahead. I'll probably end up slipping out. So I've been trying for a long time to keep it that way, and the more I try, the worse it gets, just so you know. We were just talking about that.
Well, you said you didn't want to edit the show, and I said, okay, no swearing. So,
but, like I said, I normally just air it out there live anyways. So. And a few weeks ago, I said that the train has sailed on that one, so I think I'd rather report. I think I'd rather report at that point.
Thanks for thinking of me, and happy to be Johnny on the spot here this evening.
Well, we talked about it before, like in a couple weeks, but you know how things work.
Yeah, things happen fast in the radio business.
Yeah, I know. So, okay, let's start there. So you're the host of,
Alternative Frequencies.
Well, I'll turn to the frequencies. I've got two sets of notes. I've got one on my screen, and I've got the ones that I normally have right in front of me. And the one on the computer has alternative frequencies, and I have radio show on my paper notes. No wonder I'm confusing myself. I've got too many notes tonight.
Well, yes, I'm a host of Alternative Frequencies, and it is the supernatural in your living room. And we air every Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Hazy Radio Network and on Birmingham City Radio UK. So
which is the
look
middle
forward
of,
to that.
Middle of the night there.
Yeah, it's like 3 a.m., but I have some listeners that stay up late. And this also, the show is podcast in the UK at various times. So the ones that don't stay up can hear me at a earlier time there in the UK.
Yeah, I have a surprising following over there too, so I'm glad to hear that you're over there and they enjoy it and stuff. So what type of show? I mean, I've listened to your show, so don't take this personally. Like I have no clue. About
sure.
I have no clue about your show, but give a brief description of what you do and what kind of agenda you try to push out there.
Well, the show's not even about me, Jim. The show's about the ones on the other side that I contact using my electronic mediumship. That doesn't mean stick a quarter in my ear and I'll tell your fortune.
It takes more than a quarter.
Might do it. Yeah, 50 cent piece might do it. But anyway, I've got big ears. But anyway, what I do is I use electronics to give spirit a voice. I use my radio show, Alternative Frequencies, hence the name, as a platform to give spirit a voice. And then I always have a guest, an interesting guest. This week it'll be psychic Rick Wade, who for the first time will be giving readings live on the air. So it's sure to be an interesting show.
That's interesting. That's cool. So I'm assuming electronic devices, you're talking radio?
Well, I started out with electronic voice phenomena back in 2005 and 2006, and quite by accident. For those who have read my book, Something Unseen, know the story, but just a brief summary. I was doing genealogy research in a cemetery, or rather a graveyard, because it is attached to the church that I grew up in here in my hometown, just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was using a camera to film some headstones for the genealogy research. And upon returning home one Saturday, I was reviewing the footage, and I heard a very faint but distinct whisper on the audio of the camera, and this led me down the path I now tread. What the whisper said was, "Pray for me." And I thought that, you know, that opened up a lot of questions. Number one, I knew I was the only living soul in the cemetery or graveyard that morning. I knew that no one could have possibly gotten into, you know, close enough to me without my knowing it to whisper into the camera audio or the microphone on the camera. So I couldn't dismiss the voice, but I couldn't explain it either. And this led back to subsequent trips to the cemetery, trying to find a rational explanation. You know, dead men tell no tales, I've always heard. And I was just trying to find an explanation or explain in a way or repeat it if I couldn't explain it away or find a rational explanation. And I found during my subsequent trips to the cemetery, I was coming home and reviewing the audio, and I was finding that I was getting occasional anomalous voices on my audio. Now, I dropped the camera as far as audio and got something a little more, what I felt was a little more sensitive. And I got a old analog tape recorder, one that uses a cassette. It's a Sony Clear Voice tape recorder, has an onboard mic. Took it back to the cemetery, and I was asking questions as a, you know, as to why did you ask for prayer? Were you even talking to me? How can prayer help you? How can I help you? I'm not a priest. So as I would go home and review these, again, I was finding I was getting occasional responses. So I couldn't find a rational explanation. I couldn't explain it away. So this led me into the research, which I've been conducting now since 2007. It's trying to find out why those voices occur, what causes them, and if there's an intelligence driving these voices. And during my research, I've come to find that, yes, there is an intelligence that seems to live on after what we call death. And it seems to retain memory. and it seems to retain personality as well. So that's kind of where my story begins.
That's a fascinating story. And you were saying that you chronicled that. I shouldn't use big words when I can't talk right. And Something Unseen, that's your book? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's written in first person. It's my true story. It's written through my eyes. I talk about my thoughts, my logic, my fear. I talk about how it took me so far outside of my religious beliefs and belief system, as I had known it for almost 50 years when this began, that it changed my outlook on everything, reality, caused me to question my pastor in person. We'll get to that in a moment. And
I'm sure we will.
just caused me to change my outlook on just basically reality in general when it comes to the afterlife.
That's on Amazon, and the link's in the blog there if anybody needs it, of course, if you can't find Stephen Hill. It's kind of confusing because I clicked on Stephen Hill, you know, trying to bring up to see if he had anything else that I needed to know about on there. I didn't think so, but I figured I'd just do it anyways. And I got all these Stephen King books because he co-wrote with some with Joe Hill. So I was like, oh, this really helps. But
well, if you Google Stephen Hill with a PH on Facebook, there's a rock star named Stephen Hill. There's a football player named Stephen Hill. There's a very well-known evangelist by the name of Stephen Hill, again with a PH. But I'm just the lowly author who talks to dead people.
So which one has more money, the football player or the evangelist?
Oh, well, you answer that question. I'm sure you know. Well, it could be the rock star from Canada.
Could be, I guess.
I never know.
We can't pull it out.
Absolutely. But, no, I am Stephen Hill on Facebook. I'm the one with the book cover of Something Unseen, again, my true story, on my Facebook page. So I'm kind of not too hard to find from the others. And I'm certainly not a priest or a preacher, but I do believe that part of my message, Jim, as odd as this may sound to you, I don't know what your religious beliefs may be, but I believe part of my message is, through everything I've learned, is whether we believe to choose in, you know, ghosts, spirits, angels, God, Satan, demons, all of the above. Someone on the other side certainly believes, because they talk about that all the time. Remember, the first EVP I ever recorded was asking for prayer. So, you know, I think that's part of my message, even though, again, I'm not a preacher.
I think you have to believe in something spiritual, is whichever way you want to cut it, if you want to be in this field. So, for what that's worth.
Right, and back to the theological debate there with my pastor. What led up to that was soon after I started making these trips to the cemetery, I started experiencing odd things in my home. Voices in another room, whispering my name, my dog acting weird, something tugging on my shirt collar. I chronicle all of this in the book, as these things happened. Now, at first, I didn't mention any of this to my wife, because as I state in the book, she had enough worries as it was, and I didn't want my sanity to become one of them. And I was doubting my sanity myself at that point. But when you're hearing these things, and you know you're not imagining them, and your dog's staring at something, growling, peeing in the floor that you can't see, that's a frightening experience. And one day my wife came to me and said, Steve, if I were to tell you something, whatever it might be, would you believe me? We've been married for now almost 34 years. And I was like, yes, I would believe you. And she said, well, I've been hearing strange things in this house. I've been hearing whispering voices coming from another room. When I go to look, I can find no one here. I'm here by myself. And one of the weirdest things was when I was sitting reading, it happened three times that week, and she related to me. If she was sitting there reading or watching TV in the den, I would be back here in my office. She said something was tugging on my shirt. Well, I've been having the same experience. I've been hearing whispering voices, and I'd witnessed how odd my dog, Cruiser, had been acting and seemingly responding to something in this house that was invisible. It led me to believe that my house was haunted. So who do you turn to? You know, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Well, I turned to my church.
Right.
Because that's where my faith was and in my religion. And I walked in there. You know, it just took a lot of self-fortitude for me to even attempt this because I've been a member of that church my entire life. I was baptized there in 1957. As an infant, and it's a Presbyterian faith, so they just sprinkle you on your head.
Right.
The Baptists dunk you, and I don't know what all the other ones do, but anyway, so I've been going to that church my entire life. Everybody there knew me or my family, and I walked in to the pastor's office and asked, do you believe in an in-between? And he didn't exactly understand what I was talking about, so I said, a purgatory. Do you believe in a prison where perhaps spirits dwell, maybe by their own design or maybe by some design I don't understand? Do you believe in such a place? And his reply was, Jim, he said, the teachings of our doctrine do not make mention of such a place, so therefore I do not believe it exists. So what I said next hastened the end of our conversation. I quoted a Bible verse, and I'm not a Bible thumper. Again, I'm not a preacher, but I said, let me quote you a verse from Matthew. Don't remember the exact. I have it listed in the book. On the third day, Jesus rose in spirit, through which he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which God had abandoned or imprisoned long ago, while waiting on the days of Noah, or before the days of Noah. Again, I'm not a Bible thumper or quoter, but I thought that very interesting scripture, and it did fit with my theories. And his eyebrows rose, his jaw went slack, and he looked at his watch and said, wow, I've got to pick my son up in 10 minutes. Thanks for coming by.
How convenient.
Yeah, so I think it took him outside his beliefs, and I was raising questions he couldn't answer. And before he got rid of me, I said, I just want to let you know one thing. There's spirits in that cemetery. Look, right out the window on the other side of that stone wall, that was that cemetery was started back in the late 1700s. There's people there, or maybe we should call them spirits, and they're asking for prayer. They're asking for help. And I'd just like to know what you would suggest in order for me to better understand what I've experienced. And I don't think he believed me, and I'm about to look on his face, and I pull a recorder out of my pocket and say, well, here, I've got the voices on tape. You want to hear them? And he said, wow, really, I must be going. Shook my head. Well, when I left there that day, I knew I wouldn't be attending that church anymore. And then I was no longer Presbyterian because although I'd been raised in that doctrine and it never spoke of such a place as I was suggesting, based on my data, and we'll call it evidence because my definition of evidence is data collected to support, form, or revise a theory. So based on my evidence, at least to me, there was an in-between, perhaps a purgatory or a prison, such as that scripture spoke of. Now, I went ahead and, after I got no help from the pastor, I went ahead and got online, and I contacted a local ghost group, paranormal investigation group, and write all about all of this in the book. Well, the paranormal investigation group came out for a preliminary investigation, stayed probably 35 to 40 minutes, did an EVP session, probably 10 minutes, said, well, where did your wife say she saw the shadow man? Because at that point, my wife had informed me that on two occasions she had seen shadow people or a shadow man in the bedroom of, in the doorway, excuse me, of our bedroom. So I show them that, and I said, well, right here in this doorway, they got running over with their meters holding them up in the air. Well, they didn't flash. Nobody rapped on the wall when they asked. The leader of the group was a sensitive, but she didn't sense anything. And they left. Perhaps it was the question I posed to them. They were having me verbally fill out their questionnaire. They were writing down the answers when they first got here. And one of the questions was, have you ever questioned your own mental status? And my reply to that was, does a madman question his own sanity? Would he realize that he is insane? And after a long pause, he said, I wouldn't know. And that ended the questionnaire portion of the investigation. But they left in a hurry. I waited a week, didn't hear back. And, you know, I was sleeping with the lights on. My wife seeing shadow people, my dog acting weird. We're both hearing whispering voices, stuff pulling on our shirts. It can be a very scary experience, Jim.
Yes.
As you could probably imagine. Yes. You know, I'm almost 50 years old at the time. I'm sleeping with the lights on. My wife's scared to get in the shower for fear of what may be standing outside when she opens the shower door there in the bathroom with her, because she's seen these shadow apparitions. So, you know, who do you turn to now? I called them back. They hadn't called me. They said, well, we really didn't find anything, and we don't really believe that we're going to be back for a full investigation. And then he sent me a follow-up email, very nice email. That basically what it said was what he told me on the phone. We don't think we'll be back. We found no evidence to support your claims of activity. And, you know, in 30 to 40 minutes, you know, the paranormal doesn't always jump out on cue. The paranormal doesn't always adhere to scientific method, if that's what the meters were for. One thing that I always question, because what I do may be a part of science. I'm using technology to communicate, the recorders, and we'll talk about in a moment the spirit radios or ghost boxes, for lack of a better name. You know, what does science accept as evidence? Nothing when it comes to the paranormal.
Right.
So you can use all the scientific method. You can document everything. You can try to be as thorough as possible to debunk. I don't like the word debunk, because actually the proper use of debunk is to defraud or prove fraud. But you go in and you try to find a rational explanation, scientific method, I understand that. But when you present it to a scientist, it will be quite like that pastor, hasty to get rid of you. You know, because in his circles of peers, he's going to be laughed out of the circle, both in religion and in science. So what is scientific method? It has several forms. I think scientific method is when you do an experiment and you get positive results. Now, the skeptic would say, how can you prove a negative? Well, there's only one way I can see that science will recognize, and that's the law of percentages, Jim.
Yeah.
If the law of percentages overrides the possibility of randomness, then it should be a positive, or at least in my view.
It's something. Even if it's not, you know, it's something that you have to take account for.
Right. So, you know, what? When I didn't get any help from the church, I didn't get any help from a ghost group, I decided to become my own client. After all, as I write in the book, I'd already filled out the questionnaire. So I went and bought a new recorder, a digital voice recorder. Set it out in my hallway, put it on, didn't know what I was doing. Put it on voice activation mode so it could sit there and record all night long without, you know, killing the batteries. Only if it was activated by a voice or sound. And lo and behold, the next morning I had 5 activations on that recorder. And as I talk about in the book, the first one was me snoring. The second one was me coughing in my sleep. The third activation was a very gruff male voice that sounded to be in my hallway, and he said, "Smoker's cough." And the fourth one was a voice still on that subject that said, "Smoke, smoke." And the last one was a female voice that said, "Andy, I love you." Now, this wasn't my wife's voice. I could tell it wasn't my voice, even though I've got a pretty deep voice. So that confirmed one thing. The activity in my home was caused by more than one, if you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
There was more than one entity or ghost, as I referred to them here, because of the two different voices. So I went ahead and decided that I would set up my video cameras, and I, you know, talk about in depth. I'll listen to the book. Try to set up a camera. I didn't have a night shot camera, but I had a, you know, a new at the time Canon video camera, and I set it up on a tripod in my den, aiming down the hall. I cut on a light in the bathroom, just a little night light. The night light was plugged into the outlet there in the hall, and that was the only lights that was on. And the reason I did this was in an attempt to catch that shadow apparition that had appeared to my wife. And I didn't get him on film. He did not show up. But what I did catch, it's very odd. I've still got the video. A shadow, well, I'm not going to call it a shadow. It's all of a sudden the camera, it did it only one time, goes out of focus. The night light dims, gets bright, and then gets extremely bright, the one in the hallway. And the camera ran fine until it ran out of tape. Now, I had to assume that something caused that camera to blink, as I say in the book. Something caused it to lose focus.
Yeah.
There's nothing visible on the film. If it had been just a low light condition that caused it to lose focus, I mean, wouldn't it have been doing that continuously?
Yeah, it would have continued doing it.
Around? Right. Well, it did it just for a few seconds. And, you know, I thought that was pretty good data to support my theory. Then I went to trying to have them move things. And that didn't work out too good. And I wasn't scared at this point because, you know, as frightened as I was in the beginning, once I started hunting them, you can tell by my voice, I'm from the South. I'm a country boy. I grew up hunting, grew up in the woods on a farm. I love, you know, I don't hunt anymore, but I used to love to hunt in younger years. I know my way around the woods. So once you start hunting them, they're not so scary anymore. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now, instead of wondering what they're going to do next to scare the bejesus out of us, now I'm trying to interact with them. And I found the best method to do that in the beginning was here in my home with electronic voice phenomena. Now I would ask questions here in my home, and I would start to get answers. At least names, and it led me to try to contact someone who had a lot more experience in this than I did. I ended up calling a organization called Eastern Paranormal here in North Carolina, and I got hold of a lady named Gabrielle. I did not realize at the time that she was a medium. I just thought she was a paranormal investigator. And she called me back. I sent her an email. She called me. I left my number. And she says, oh, I know what's wrong with you. And I'm like, no, nothing wrong with me. Because, Jim, you almost feel ashamed when you're experiencing these things. You almost feel ashamed. It's like, what have I done wrong to bring this on me and my family?
Yeah.
What the hell have I bought into my house? Well, so much for swearing. But, you know, what have I bought into this house? What have I bought on my family? What on earth can I do? And you're so afraid of what others are going to think about you. Okay, here the pastors told me I was basically, not in so many words, but by his actions, that I was crazy. I'm sure he thought I was quite insane. Here's a local ghost group that came out here. They didn't believe me either, although they seem to believe in ghosts because they're a ghost hunting group. So now I'm talking to someone who says, I know what's wrong with you. I'm like, okay, please tell me. She said, your house isn't haunted. And I'm like, I beg to differ. You know, come here, spend the night. And she's like, no, your house isn't haunted, Steve. You're a haunted person. Well, I found this hard to fathom. I'm a haunted person? What do you mean I'm a haunted person? She said, you're a natural-born empath. And I'm like, well, what is an empath? I had no clue. She said, Google it. Look it up. So this is the sixth sense. Look it up. So I looked it up, and an empathic or an empath is a person that is just very highly acutely aware of other people's feelings, emotions. Like I always knew, if someone lied to me, I can tell even if I've never met them, if they're lying or not. It's just some tone in their voice that gives it away. And I always thought of myself, again, as very perceptive, but not psychic. And but she said, you're a natural born empath. She said, spirits in your home followed you there. And I'm like, well, I knew that. She said, well, it's not because you were standing in the graveyard with a tape recorder. It's because they sense that you have this sixth sense. And I couldn't fathom this, Jim. I mean, it was...
Well, it's not easy to hear. I mean, somebody tell you that. Especially when you're unaware. I mean, unaware to that point of your life that... I don't want to say it's possible, but... Pretty much. I mean, it's not in your circle of the people you're running with.
No, and one thing I learned, your fishing buddies, once they find out what your other hobby is, they don't call you up to go fishing no more for some strange reason. And I think they're afraid or embarrassed. I don't know what it is. But once I found out that I had this gift, we'll call it, Ms. Gabrielle told me you can either choose to ignore it or you can choose to explore it. And I'd already been too far into it to ignore it. So I decided to explore it. And as I kept going back to the cemetery, which may sound foolish if you're having haunting activity at home, why would you go back there? Well, I was still trying to find answers. If I'd get a name, I'd go look for the headstone, see if it's in that graveyard.
Yeah, well, you said evidence earlier, and how you become the detective. Now you're trying to figure out how strong a case you could build, I guess, for the lack of a better...
Well, I'm trying to find answers for myself. Why is this happening to me? But, you know, as I went on with my research... I found out that, you know, everything happens for a reason. And at that time, when all this began, you know, I didn't believe in ghosts. I liked a good ghost story. I liked a good horror flick, you know, just like everybody else, but I didn't believe in ghosts. I think I'd seen the movie White Noise when it came out years ago. That was a form of video ITC, or instrumental transcommunication. But I thought it was a great movie, and an interesting storyline, but I didn't believe in any of it. But when it starts happening to you, You know, seeing is believing, or experiencing is believing. That's when I started to change my perception. And if spirits can talk, and seemingly they're wanting to talk to me, I figured maybe I did, you know, have this gift. And if it was meant to communicate, because that seems to be my strong point, then why not try to use it to some advantage? Because I still had 1,000 questions, and I still do today.
Isn't that the truth? So every time you find an answer, you still get 5 more questions out of the answer.
And one of the hardest pieces of information to get, Jim, is what's it like on the other side? Where are you at? You know, what's it like there? And I've got comical answers. I've got very serious answers. But it's very hard to get what I feel is relevant information. You know, one, I try to switch the questions up. You know, one file I have off of Spirit Radio is, what do you miss most in this life? And this female voice with a northern accent immediately comes through and says, my housekeeper. So, you know, I'm sure she was being comedic, but I thought it was just funny. And, you know, the skeptical's going to say that, especially with the Spirit Radio, that all of that is random bleed through from a radio station, a ham radio, a CB radio, a baby monitor, a cell phone, that we are matrixing into words that we hope to hear. And, you know, not too many years ago, I would have subscribed to that theory myself. But after the years of research and the thousands of sessions and the thousands of files that I get direct responses, you know, I don't think that's the case now. I think, again, I've sent you 3 files this evening that we'll get to. And, you know, these are all recent. The first, the oldest one was at Christmas.
That's the first one I have queued up here. I have it queued twice, so I'll play it once here, and then we can talk about it again, and then we'll play it again.
Okay, go ahead. Sound?
Get my mouse over here.
Can you tell all my friends Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Okay, yeah, I heard Merry Christmas. I heard part of it. Of course, it goes by so fast the first time.
What he's saying, that's on a P-SB7. That's a commercially manufactured, purpose-built spirit communication radio or instrumental transcommunication research device, as it's labeled. And it's a pretty good radio, but that was recorded back on December 24th of this past year, 2012. And the PSP7 is a real good radio for repeating what I asked them to say. You know, again, trying to illustrate to the law of percentages of the rise of possibility of randomness. I said, can you tell all my friends Merry Christmas? And what I hear in that file is a male and a female voice. I repeat the word Merry twice, like Merry, Merry Christmas.
Okay.
And I just ask you, can that be random?
And we're going to hit it right again here, so everybody get close.
Can you tell all my friends Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
Yes. There it is, twice. I heard it, Merry, Merry, twice.
Yep, Merry, Merry Christmas. And I'm just asking you, if that's not audio paradelia, then what the hell is it? Because I've got many, many examples of... you know, and again, that PSP7 is a great radio, and I don't know why the radios differ as they do. It's not the clearest radio I've got. I've got a device called the Joe's Box that seems to blow everything else out of the water as far as clarity, but it's not a big repeater for validation. It's more of an information giver, if you will. But again, you know, if that's not audio paradelia, then what is it?
You've got me with that one. I can't answer that.
I've had them on several occasions even tell me we're a ghost or say the word ghost when I asked them. So, you know, just food for thought.
Yeah, you got to wonder, because even if it is that audio paradelia, I mean, close to Christmas, yeah, kind of, whatever. But if you're, you know, like today, ask, you know, go open the box up and have a session. They start talking about football, you got to wonder because it's not football season.
Well,
because you know, certain times of day, like during the afternoon, you'll get your political talk, and you know, but late at night, you get different types of programming. So you got to just remember that too, I guess, in the perspective of what you're talking about. Some people think, you know, they hear voices, and I could swear I heard Rush Limbaugh one day, but that's here or there.
Well, I've never heard Rush Limbaugh during a spirit box session because basically he's not dead. Yeah.
But he's soulless.
But anyway.
Oh, wait. Oh, there goes a bunch of my listeners clicking out, I'm sure.
I was once a skeptic of all of this. And that's, you know, one reason that I continued my research was trying to find validation for my theories. And, you know, a lot of people turn on the ghost radio, run it for 10 minutes, so I didn't hear a thing. And, you know, I think it depends on the operator.
Yeah.
I think one theory I have, you know, the skeptics will all disagree, but that's fine.
Hold on. Skeptics will disagree with us on anything we say. The sky's blue.
Of course.
I think it's a shade of...
Well, you know, my favorite skeptic, Bobby Nelson, has been on my show several times. And I've been on his... Well, I've been on my show a couple times. I've been on his show many times over the years. And we can agree to disagree, but I can send him a file and say, hey, can you say hi to Bobby? And he'll say, hi, Bobby. And he'll say, oh, that was random. Yeah, it was clear I heard it, but that was random. And I'm like, okay, give me the odds of that. When I ask it to repeat something and it repeats it, you know, almost immediately, and it's very clear, then all you bookies or mathematicians out there, please send me the odds, because I'm sure they're astronomical. And the logical mind would have to agree with that, Jim.
Yeah.
They are astronomical.
But he's a good guy. He's been on my show once, so I've been on his show once.
Bobby's like the... I've got a son, but Bobby's like the son I never had.
You're not going to finish that off with the son you never wanted? No.
No. Bobby's a great guy. You know, we have a love-hate relationship. We love to hate each other.
Yeah.
Or hate to love each other would be a better analogy, but Bobby's a great guy, but... you know, I'll never convince Bobby.
No.
And, but it's fun trying. It really is.
So speaking of that, well, kind of, the next one I have here is, do you know my name?
Right. Just again, you can play the file.
I'll play here, and then we'll discuss, and then play it again.
Sure.
So.
Do you know my name? Steve.
Yeah.
Well, it clearly to me said Steve. There was no static bleed through or anything in between it. It was just, you could hear the radio sweeping.
Yeah.
You know, and it said my name, Steve. When I asked, do you know my name? And again, law of percentages. What are the odds? It would say my name so clearly.
Without something
else.
That
I could hear it in real time. Yeah, without something else. Even if it had a blip or two of music in between, you know, we'd say that was bleed through, because certainly you have to assume when you're using a device that sweeps radio station or radio waves, radio bands, when you're using a device that sweeps radio bands, that you're going to get some kind of bleed through from a strong station.
Yeah.
But I love those files where they're so clear. I ask them a question. They correctly answer it with no bleed through or static noise in between. Just a sweep of the radio. Again, what are the odds? Astronomical.
I don't know, but I'm going to play it again just for everybody here.
Sure.
Maybe.
Do you know my name?
Steve.
Steve, yes, Steve.
Just Yeah.
Well, you know, if you don't hear my name, Steve, then I can't help you.
Normally, see, but, this is the awkward.
I tell everybody, if you hear something different than what I'm suggesting, then that's fine.
But there's, if you hear something, that you're hearing something. Either way you slice it.
It's not my mission or wish to change anybody's mind. I simply share what I've recorded during my years of research, and I state my thoughts and feelings on it. And I've come to the conclusion, after 7 years now with the Spirit Radios, that this is some form of intelligence. This isn't all random bleed through. It isn't all audio paradelia. There is some form of intelligence that can communicate. Now, you may ask how. Well, that's a great question. I have my theories. You know, as an EVP, a lot of EVP researchers will use white noise, thinking or hoping, theorizing it will increase the results with anomalous voices in an environment. But when you think about it, the Spirit Radio is creating its own white noise when it sweeps the bands, and we're also providing them with an amplified speaker, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, how they're hearing me, I don't know. Do they have to be here in my environment, in my house? I know I've taken my equipment into many different locations, you know, private residences where I've been invited to come over, not know any family names, and ask who's here and get a relative's name, a mother or a father or whatever. One such case I did, a gentleman was seeing an apparition in the house his wife inherited from her grandmother. He was in there remodeling or going to rent it out. And he saw the apparition of an old lady in the kitchen and scared the bejesus out of him. He didn't want to go over there and work no more. And I went in, took one of my radios, turned it on, and said, "Who's the old lady sitting in the kitchen?" And they weren't there. They didn't go in with me. They were scared. And the immediate reply I got in a female voice was Violet. And I said, I had no clue. I said, "Well, Violet's a color, Violet's a flower, and I guess Violet could be a name as well." So I go out, I go back to her house. I said, "The old lady seen the kitchen, from what I'm hearing, is her name's Violet." And her jaw dropped, her face went white, and said, "My God, that's my deceased grandmother that lived in that house and left me that house when she died in her will." So, again, low percentages.
Yeah, you can't pull that one out of your hat, I don't think.
In another case, went in a place, lady said, "I know somebody's here, don't know who it is, just want to know if it's not anything that's going to be detrimental to me and my family." I had no idea if her parents were living or deceased. I certainly didn't know their names. Go in and ask. I let her write the questions down on that one. It's on film, my YouTube channel, Windstalker57. It's called Case Ghost Box Session. And this was several years ago. I think back in 2009 when actually this occurred, and maybe I posted it in 2010. But anyway, she was, we were filming it. And she's writing the questions. Her first question was, "Okay, who stays around Kate?" I started hearing the name Ruth. And I kept asking to be sure, because when I tell somebody something, I want to be sure I'm hearing it correctly.
Right.
And the information's good. And she said, Ruth. And I kept asking Ruth, "Who's Ruth?" "She's Mama." And finally I said, "Kate, who's Ruth?" She said, "Ruth's my mother, deceased." Later on in that same session, and the name had been coming through many times, I just don't know who to associate it with, because I didn't know her parents' names, and the name Ed came through. Ed. Finally I said, "Kate, who's Ed?" She said, "Ed's my father." So there's two names, dead on. I've done it many times before in many different locations. Again, low percentages. What's the odds?
Just phenomenal. Hey, speaking of phenomenal things, This is the first time I've actually done this for somebody, played clips of their stuff on air. So, to my loyal listeners out there, if they prefer this, because I've had my hang-ups on it in the past, so just fair notice to everybody, that's why I haven't done it. But if it's something that the people like, they should tell me, and I'll keep doing it. So, just for the record, so feel honored, I guess.
Oh, I am honored, Jim.
So, I think people like it, but sometimes I listen to some shows and they play these clips and you go, where did you record that? In the bottom of a well? But these are pretty good, so.
Well, that's the thing is, and I take no credit, but the years I've been doing this, I've experimented, what devices will give me clearer, better communication, what recording method's going to work the best for this. And I've got it pretty clear. I don't take the credit. It's just through experimentation and the advancement of technology in the devices that are available today that we call spirit radios or ghost boxes.
So I guess I better play this last one before we run out of time.
Okay.
Yes, I'm Steven.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's the thank you one. Of course, I'm going to say thank you to you, of course, but that'll come in here in about 9 minutes. But so where was that one from?
Well,
I guess.
From my house. I have many familiar voices, many familiar names that show up here regularly on my sessions. And I didn't hear the first part of that one real good for some reason, but what she actually said was Stephen, and I recognize that. And by the way, I recorded that one at midnight last night, sitting right here in this chair at my desk in my home office. She said, Stephen, and I said, yes. She said, thank you. And I've been told by many clairvoyants, mediums, psychics, if you will, that just by letting them speak and giving them a voice, I'm somehow helping them. And, just to hear them say my name like that, Stephen, so clearly, I'm like, yeah, I'm Stephen. She says, thank you. Pretty clear. I was honored to get that because, a lot of people in this life don't bother to say thank you.
That's
when you
correct.
Hold the door or do something, do a favor or whatever. And perhaps those on the other side have better manners.
Well, let's hit it again before I give my 2 cents on that.
Yes, I'm Steven.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think you're right. People on the other side. Well, that's a different time, though. I mean, that generation.
There is no time there.
Well, but that generation did that things like that. My generation. I'm not.
Well, there's all generations, I asked one time, this was a pretty funny response. I said, who was president when you were alive? And the response I got was Johnson. So, that gives you an error. And another time I got Grant. So there's you in a pretty old spirit. But in the annals of time, there's no telling the age.
Wait, time out for a second. Johnson, that could be Lyndon Baines Johnson during the 60s, or it could be Andrew Johnson during the 1860s.
That's what I'm saying. It's a pretty funny response. Johnson,
okay.
Who?
I'm just catching up with you. That's okay.
Right.
Killing your joke. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But, and I talk about in my book, The Dead Comedians. These are spirits that don't seem to have anything better to do, just like some of us in this life, but to stand around and make snide comments and wisecrack. And I get them occasionally on the radio. So, for example, one I've got said, F you. And I said, but he didn't abbreviate. You're not going to hear that F you on the FCC-regulated broadcasting stations, I guarantee you. Not if they want to keep their license. But said, F you. And I'm like, were you talking to me? And he's like, yes, bend over. No, I'm not bending over. So, and just that clear. So, you're... those are the ones I consider the comedians on the other side. And some people would say they're all demonic. I don't think so. I've recorded the voices of many, many children on electronic voice phenomena on a recorder. on the camera audio, and I've even got them on the spirit radios many times, unmistakable children's voices. And, like Art Linkletter used to say, kids say the darndest things.
So we're running out of time, so I want to make sure we get this back out there. Something Unseen by Stephen Hills on Amazon.
Yes.
Alternative Frequencies is at 10 o'clock Tuesday nights on AZ Radio Network, azradio.com.
And also on Birmingham City Radio.
That's correct.
In the UK.
And the YouTube channel is Windstalker57.
I don't know what I was smoking when I came up with that name. But that was back in 2000. I was afraid. I didn't want to put my name out there.
Yeah.
You know, wow, I've got these EVPs. I want to put this on YouTube. But I don't want nobody to know it's me. Because, again, I almost feel ashamed when all this first began. What did I do to deserve this? Did I do something wrong, if you will? So I guess that's why I chose that name. But I'm out of the closet.
I was going to say, I outed myself. I started the show pretty hard. But I needed to do that. Makes
well,
feel
Jim,
better.
I love your website, italkparanormal.com, and the difference between me and you is I talk to the paranormal.
See? There you go. So you should run out and buy that.
There you go.
Well, I have Mallard.com, too, but with the I in there, it kind of confuses people. So I needed something I'd hope my listeners could spell.
There you go. That's the thing about the Ouija board, Jim. You have to assume the ghost can spell.
Well, that's why I don't like the Ouija board, because I can't spell.
And also, you're asking them to use you to move the oracle, which could be a form of possession. I'm not sure.
We'll have to leave it there because I'm clean out of time, and I want to thank you again for jumping off me at this late minute. All right.
No problem. Anytime.
Have a good night. Have a good show, I guess I should be saying.
Thank you, Jim, and we'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com.